The Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show is coming up next, right here on the TJRS Radio Network online radio at its best.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
Now I'm covered.
Now for the first time, you can be covered with a quality health plan from the new Health Insurance Marketplace, part of the healthcare law. It's where brand name companies offer plans you can compare side by side, and it's the place to get lower monthly payments.
I'm covered.
So if you have an accident, get sick, or just need a checkup,
I'm covered.
We're covered. Now we're covered.
Enroll now at the Health Insurance Marketplace at healthcare.gov.
Online radio at its best. Online radio at its best.
Hey, 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 guten Tag.
If you're ready, map of the South.
Let's do this.
I'm telling you, I am first very honored that you would join me tonight.
He has a very limited time spot, so we want to bring in Mr. Alan Farrell right away.
Hey, how are you, Kathleen?
You know what? I'm going to make you do what it do, baby.
Man, what's crack-a-lackin', baby? What's crack-a-lackin'?
It's time for the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show.
Don't try to call me out, princess. You can take your love and true purpose and stick it. She's a bitch.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
This week on the Serious Side.
Hello, everyone. I'm Michelle Obama, and on this Mother's Day weekend, I want to take a moment to honor all the mothers out there and wish you a happy Mother's Day. I also want to speak to you about an issue of great significance to me as First Lady, and more importantly, as the mother of two young daughters. Like millions of people across the globe, my husband and I are outraged and heartbroken over the kidnapping of more than 200 Nigerian girls from their school dormitory in the middle of the night. This unconscionable act was committed by a terrorist group determined to keep these girls from getting an education. Grown men attempting to snuff out the aspirations of young girls. And I want you to know that Barack has directed our government to do everything possible to support the Nigerian government's efforts to find these girls and bring them home. In these girls, Barack and I see our own daughters. We see their hopes and their dreams, and we can only imagine the anguish their parents are feeling right now. Many of them may have been hesitant to send their daughters off to school, fearing that harm might come their way. But they took that risk because they believed in their daughter's promise and wanted to give them every opportunity to succeed.
Senator Dale O'Connor wrote that in 25 years, affirmative action may no longer be necessary. Is she right?
I would like to think that if we make good decisions and we invest in early childhood education, improved K through 12, if we have done what needs to be done to ensure that kids who are qualified to go to college can afford it, that affirmative action becomes a diminishing tool for us to achieve racial equality in this society.
This one goes out to moms. On behalf of all the kids in the world, here are two things every mom needs to know. Number one, put down your phone, unless your kid is named phone. Number two, don't name your kid phone. That's just not right. That's messed up. And number three, we love you. It's just sometimes we don't know how to say it. Sometimes it just comes out screaming or crying. But the next time your kid screams, you know what they're really saying is, I love you, Mom. You're beautiful. Thank you for not naming me phone.
Good morning and welcome to the Serious Side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jams Jazz Cafe, right here on the TJRS Radio Network.
Good Sunday morning to you, folks. Today is May 11th, 2014.
Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Hope you guys will enjoy your special day. You're in tune to the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning, including Mother's Day, right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. And of course, I'm J. Ryle, and I never share the stage alone. Let me say good morning to, first up, she is the host of the J. Ryle Show, the True Purpose Show, and Ladies First Radio. She is also the host of a TV series called Transforming Detroit, the host of the book, Pregnant in the Spirit. And let's also say that she's a mom. So happy Mother's Day and good morning, Dr. Princess Adia. How are you?
Oh, wow. This is just absolutely awesome. I want to say happy Mother's Day to everyone out there. And I later on, I'm going to talk more even about Nigeria. My heart goes out to all of you. And happy Mother's Day to everyone. And to Jay, thank you so much for having me work on Mother's Day. You're just a wonderful, wonderful.
Thank you.
I know. Thank you so much.
Thank you
Jay.
So much.
Thank
I know. You. I know you. There's
thank
no place
so
you'd rather be than here talking and educating our moms all over the world. And we appreciate you for that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, man. The man who gets the first and last word. He's not a mother, but, you know, he's played that role for a lot of children. Well, I guess fathers. But he's the man who runs everything around here. He's the one and only Mr. L.E.S. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Jay, and good morning, Dr. Adia. How are you guys doing this morning?
Wonderful. How are you? You forgot.
Happy Mother's Day, Dr. Adia.
Thank you. Thank you. I want special treatment today because I'm working on Mother's Day, so I want special
absolutely
treatment from the
you will. We will give you all the special treatment you need this morning. Not a problem, like we always do. And we want to say once again good morning to all the mothers out there. Hopefully our political strategist, Jerome Espruit, will join us a little later after his commitment with Clear Channel Radio, I should say. Usually he tags along in here. But we have a great show for you. We weren't here last week, but we're glad that we're back live this week on a very special day for all the ladies out there who are mothers, which is probably a beautiful segue. I'm not going to say beautiful as far as beauty per se, but just a segue into our first topic this morning. And Dr. Princess Aldea mentioned it just a few minutes ago, I want to say maybe a couple of weeks ago, over 200 girls were kidnapped from a school that they were attending in Nigeria. And, you know, at this point, we're at a point where we're thinking, my God, you know, will they ever be able to find these little girls again? So before we get into, you know, my beef with this whole thing, let's spend a few minutes and talk about that. Dr. Princess Odia, what do you think about this? I mean, you know, 200 young girls, and the reason why they were kidnapped is because men do not want them to be educated. Your thoughts?
Wow. First, it's a person. It hit home with me. As just a couple of years ago, I started a great relationship with Nigeria by launching it, by going over there. And spoke to a lot of young ladies, and the drive that they have, I can only imagine. Just like the clip said, where you know their parents trusted in their dreams and sent them off, and felt that they would be safe, and maybe even had some apprehensiveness because kidnapping is something that happens frequently in Nigeria, certain parts of Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
So. I'm very, my heart is just very, very, very sad about that. I can't even imagine. I'm very sad about it. And I trust that we have success over there in finding them. I've read a lot since I actually first heard about it on Friday. And I heard read a lot about the group that has kidnapped them and their antics and how they're known to just kill. You don't do what they want. They just have no problem with just killing you. So I really pray that President Barack Obama is successful sooner than later in finding them. And I pray that, you know, the group, they don't get upset because we're over there. You know, I kind of wonder if it would have been better if we just would have kind of kept it, you know, kind of quiet instead of really going public with it.
and just kind of come, you know, coming over there to do what we did, and maybe they could have talked to the Mr. Goodluck, President Goodluck, but I don't know how that would have been. But anyways, I'm just concerned. I'm concerned and I'm sad about the situation.
Yeah, and it's something that will definitely make you sad when you really think about it, and think about the fact that, you know, the women every day here go to school, you have kids here who don't want to go to school, and don't get me started with that, but you have these young ladies trying to learn, and because of the fact that they're considered second-class citizens in other parts of the world, regardless whether it's Nigeria or in some of the places in the Middle East, bottom line is that this is a sad situation. You know, Mr. Elias, your thoughts on this, and then we're going to bring, it looks like our colleague Momo B wants to check in. We'll bring her in after your comments. What do you think about this, Mr. Elias?
Well, you know, my thought process is, man, you know, what kind of human beings kidnap anybody? First and foremost. Secondly, how do you kidnap girls who want to better themselves and become educated? Because, you know, I guess, you know, once again, we realize education is the key. So, once again, if you keep people dumbed down and they don't have any recourse to you, even come back to fight at you. So, the bottom line is, hey, man, look, bring these girls back home. These girls want their education. Let these girls learn. You know, why would you put yourself in this position to say this? And then what really irritated, got up under my skin, is when the president, the first lady of Nigeria, said that this was a hoax. This wasn't even true. This was people that were a militant group just playing a hoax. And you know, come on, man, stop playing. Her of all people should have just been like, hey, look, we gotta do whatever we do, bring these young ladies home. It's just irritating.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And the situation is that they're saying that they don't want any help from the outside, and it's just ridiculous. Let's bring in our colleague from the J. Ryle Show. Good morning, Momo B. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. How are you guys doing this morning?
Happy Mother's Day to you.
Happy Mother's Day. I'm great. Same to you, Princess. Happy Mother's Day. To all the mothers in the world, awesome.
Well, you checked in. I'm pretty sure you have something to say about this, so let me give you the floor. Well, what are your thoughts on this this situation?
First and foremost, it's a very sad situation. I can't even imagine what these mothers are going through. I just couldn't imagine. I just can't imagine. But what I really want to say is I really hope that the United States gets involved and do everything in their realm to bring these girls home, to aid in bringing them home. We can't just sit here and do nothing. We do stuff for so many other people. There's times that we got to do something for our people, too. I mean, my people, too. I want to see us as a nation do something for my people over there. I see we always jumping in other people's business. Right, wrong, and indifferent. We're not going to stay. We want to go somewhere and do something. So now here's an opportunity that I see that we need to go somewhere and do something. We're talking about children here. We're not talking about grown people throwing rocks at each other. We're not talking about oil. We're not talking about beans. We're talking about children. No excuse. Everybody needs to pitch in and get the job done, which is bringing them back.
You know, it's a beautiful segue into what I was about to say, because to me, the whole purpose of this topic is, where is the U.S.? You know, I think we reported last week that the U.S. was sending a team of people over, Mr. Elias, to help find these girls. And like Momo B just said, I mean, we're the world police. Why are we more actively involved in this, sending a team of people over to help look? I mean, why are we not doing what we usually do, going there with guns a-blazing and say, hey, this is an atrocity, we need to do the right thing? Why are we not stepping up to the plate and doing those types of things, Ms. Elias?
Well, do we have any interest over there? That would be my first.
But see, that's BS, though. I mean, you know, I understand what you're saying, trust me, and I'm doing this for the sake of conversation. You know that's BS. I mean, that's BS. If we're going to be the world police, that means this is a dire situation that's going on right now. And for us not to participate in, I think, is ludicrous, Mr. Elias.
Well, I agree wholeheartedly with you, but do we have any interest over there? That's the main problem. We don't have any interest over there. You know, they got diamonds, but do we have any interest over in Africa, in Nigeria? Do we have any interest over there? And if we don't, then that would answer your question. They never stepped in Rwanda, did they? We don't have any interest over there. But yet and still, we stepped in when we thought Saddam Hussein was was abusing his people. We stepped in when we thought Fidel Castro was abusing his people, you know. But in Africa, go ahead and abuse all the people you want to. Go ahead and do what you want to these people. Why aren't we over there? We don't have to me, we don't have any interest over there. That's just plain and simple to me.
Well, let me ask you a question, Dr. Princess Ade. When you look at the fact that we do have an African-American president, I mean, how does this look? How does this look as far as with us looking at him? I mean, what? How is he portrayed during this whole thing? I mean, these are kids that look like him, and he more than anyone, we know he has a direct connect with his father being from that area. Being from Africa, I mean, how can he sit idle? Is it a situation where it's politics as usual? I mean, what are your thoughts on how the president is, how is he shedding this light? I mean, how do we look at him differently from this thing? Or will we look at him differently? I guess that's the question.
You know what I think? I believe that there is more being done than what is being told.
Okay.
I really do. It's more significant than what we know.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, I've actually been playing phone tag with someone over there that is very high up, because I didn't really want to speak too much of anything because I haven't finalized everything with them so that I could share. Mm-hmm. But I would like to think that there is more to it, because I don't believe that President Barack Obama would let something like this just go. And you heard the clipping. Even Michelle Obama, she even said that they were sending, people were going over there to find them. I don't believe that he's sitting down. He is doing something.
Well, there's
a
team there already.
A little group.
They were sent last week. And, well, there was
okay,
a team
right.
sent last week. Yeah.
Okay. So I don't believe it's just minor like we are saying, but it's also something that you have to be cautious and strategic about because of the group you're dealing with. You don't want them to get agitated and say, okay, really? So this is how you guys are going to do it. Okay. Well, I'll just kill them, because they're known to do that. So.
But how do we know that they're not already dead?
Well, the bottom line is, we don't want to fuse the fire, put coils on the fire.
We never thought about that before in our other dealings with other countries. We don't care about that. We go in there
with
guns and blazing.
Well, you know what?
We send drones. We do those types of things.
But guess what? We don't know where they are. We have to first find them. By the time we find them and we make a big old, introduction to this, They could be dead as a result of us coming, because they've already said, if you mess with us, we're killing them. Like, don't bother. They've already put the threat out. And it's not like you're just threatening, because they have a track record of this. If they don't get what they want, they kill. So anyone with wisdom and the power to go in and take action will have to be very strategic in their approach. I believe it's much bigger than what we know because of the strategy that is necessary. They have to use wisdom in their approach. They don't know where they are, so they've got to find them. In other cases, we know where we're going, what we're getting ready to do, and how we're getting ready to attack, and et cetera. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it does, hey, look, we're coming in. And everybody is clear of where we're coming in and what we're going to do. In this case, we have some children that are at stake and don't know where they are. So we've got to find them, and then we've got to move in on them on a sneak tip. So I believe it's a lot of wisdom being used in this. President Barack Obama is neared a full 2 terms darn near, and he has never, I don't think he's ever let us know anything other than he is strategic. And he does what he says he's going to do. So I believe that we're in good hands, and he's going to do what he says he's going to do. And as soon as I hear something, I'm going to give people a breath. But I really believe there's more to this. I'm almost 100% sure that there's more to this. But they have to be wise.
Let me ask you, Momo. Do you think the U.S. is doing enough?
I really don't know what they're doing. Last week, I think I heard that they were going to hook up with the people over there in Nigeria and give them some intel or help them with this. I didn't hear anything about going out there with some guns. I didn't hear nothing about blazing. I just heard about, oh, yeah, we're going to help them out with some materials that they may need to locate the girls. That's what I've heard. That was the last I heard. I don't know if things changed between then and now, but what I do want to hear is, yeah, they got 8 cars full of people. They got planes that's flying over there. They got a whole big old posse going over there to find these girls. That's what I want to hear. Now, Pistol did say something about we don't want to agitate. Agitate who? What? You agitated me by taking my daughter. What are you talking about? Where's our agitation? You got to move. We got to do something. We have to go. These people are crazy. They have no respect for anybody but their own little crew over there. They don't care about people. They don't respect humans. They don't respect anything. What are we supposed to do? Do what? Creep around. The problem is fear. Everybody fears them. We know where they are. Well, not me personally, but they know who these girls are. They know what section that these people live and travel and move in. They're scared to go over there. It's like suicide. They think it's suicide to go over there and try to do something. So they're not doing anything. April 15th is when it got taken. It's almost a month. That's ridiculous. And what do they want? We got to wait until we give them what they want. What do they want? I haven't heard that yet. What are they asking for?
Well, you know, and that's a good point, Momo B. Mr. Elias, when you sit back and really assess this, I mean, does it really boil down to, okay, it's not worth losing American lives over 200-plus Nigerian young girls? I mean, I'm just trying to figure out, and maybe Dr. Princess O'Day is right, maybe there's something else in the mix, and we're just not aware of, Mr. Elias. But from what I can see at this point, it doesn't look like it to me. Once again, maybe we're wrong. Maybe we're jumping to conclusions. Maybe we're saying that, the bottom line is, we just need to trust the president. I don't know if I just want to sit here and give him a pass on this, because I thought it took us too long to respond in the first place. Your thoughts?
Well, to me, I'm with you when you're right, man. The bottom line is, look, hey, if this was some other world domination trying to take over 276 girls, and then there were 8 more that got kidnapped after that. To just sit there and say their lives are not worth it, losing American lives over, and we lost lives over oil in Iraq, which they said was a weapons of mass destruction, which we knew damn well it wasn't. But just to sit here and say that these girls' lives aren't worth the, we want to be the world police. Are we the world police only when it counts what our interests are? I'll say it again. We have no interest in Africa. It's been a proven fact. In Rwanda, hell, we didn't go over there and stop the genocide that was happening over there, and we could have. Hell, the United Nations didn't do anything to stop the genocide over there. So, hell, the United States, when this first happened, they should have jumped on it. And the people of Nigeria, I am very saddened and disheartened at their political government, man. They are some of the worst people I can ever think of are sitting there and saying this is a hoax. That's one thing that we're failing to realize, that their own government is saying that this was a hoax. This wasn't true. This isn't happening. Come on, man. Stop the madness. You know this is happening. You know what's going on with it. It's happening in your country. Find these girls, because if they were your kids, you'd want to move heaven and earth to get your kids back.
It's 22 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The Serious Side of the J. Rouse Show, which happens every Sunday right here on the TGRS Radio Network. Online radio at its best. Our phone number is 347-850-1272, 347-850-1272, as we celebrate Mother's Day all around the world. It's just a shame that we're talking about this type of story on Mother's Day, because like we said before, we're talking about young girls who, once again, were taken from their families. There are mothers out there who are grieving. And, we're talking about future mothers with these young ladies being kidnapped. And the fact that, once again, we talk about America and its flaws, but, what I can say is is that there are some things about the U.S. that I can't stand, but there are some things about the USA that I love. And the fact that we don't treat our, you know, our women like they're second-class citizens in this country. And, you know, it's power, Ms. Elias, it's power. I mean, if you can keep someone from learning and being educated, you know, once when you're dealing with educated people, you know, the bottom line is to some people, to some folks in this country, I mean, in this world, they're dangerous. You know, if you have an education, right, you're dangerous because then that's knowledge. We always try to tell this to our young kids, that knowledge is the key. Look what other people are doing across the globe to try to get what you have in front of you that you will not take advantage of. Let's get everyone's final thoughts on this particular topic. Let me start with you, Momo B. Give me your final thoughts on this one.
Did you say me?
Yeah. Give me your final thoughts on this.
Okay. My final thought is children. Children should be of interest. Mr. Elias said we don't have any interest over there. And he may be right, but what I'm saying is children should be our interest. First and foremost, no matter what color their skin, no matter what their last name, no matter what ocean we got to cross to get to them, we must help. We have to. We have to, especially having a black president sitting in office. He better, I swear to God, it better be some action going on.
Yeah, and see, I think those are the sentiments of most African Americans around the globe, especially in this country. Let's before we get out of here, though, let's get Stiletto when he wants to make a comment on this. Good morning, Stiletto. Welcome to the Serious Side. What's your comment, sir?
Thank you. How's it going, fam?
Doing all right.
Has anyone brought up the question, could this be a strategic chess move by the United States to not allow China to fully set up corporations in China? Because China slowly and methodically is setting up businesses there and putting itself in position. So could the 200 just be a scapegoat so that we can eventually get in there, take over the oil that's in Nigeria, and take over the whole system in a slow, methodical way, and show China, like, hey, okay, yeah, even though you're here setting up shop, we're going to come and set up shop also. So there's a slow takeover of the country after.
You know, we didn't think of that, to be honest with you. I think maybe we need to do a little bit more research on that one and find out exactly if there's some, you know, because, you know, there's always a bigger picture. And thanks for the phone call, Stiletto. There's always a bigger picture, Ms. Elias, when you look at things like this. Things like this just don't happen, you know, by accident. There has to be a bigger plan. So we'll definitely take a look at that. And, you know, maybe we'll talk about that next week after we do some research. Dr. Princess D, give me your final thoughts on this particular topic.
My final thoughts is this. First, I believe that you save our youth, you save our world. They are who we are. And it is so important that we take great, great, great care of them. What has happened to them in Nigeria, I'm not sure how fast President Barack Obama really, really did respond. My faith is that he's just being strategic, because they are definitely, they're unaware of the location of the girls, and they have to be able to move in on them strategically because they don't know. So too much noise will cause a lot of havoc with this group, and that's for sure, and they've proven that, and they've said that, and they don't seem to be the ones that say things they don't mean. They've done it. They've done what they've said before. I think the last group of people they killed was like 310. So you have to be strategic. So my faith is that. In the meantime, our prayers, I know, go out to all of the families that are suffering the pain of their loss and their separation at this time. So that's where my vision is, that I see them home and safely. That's my vision.
Okay, appreciate that. Mr. Elias, man, give me your final thoughts on this particular topic, my friend.
Well, I'd like to let everyone know that, hey, education is the key to a prosperous life. But, you know, for these gentlemen to take these women and just abuse them like they're abusing them and doing things to them like they're doing, it's just outrageous. And, you know, it speaks volumes to how we think about human life. You know, we need to value human life and beyond everything. We need to value what people are about. We need to value, you know, women. You know, just, man, just to this is disheartening to me. It's just, it's sickening to me just to take these girls away from their, you know, to try to better themselves, and you just to take them and, you know, from what I understand, there's been reports of the girls that did escape that they were being raped, you know, hourly, and it's just disheartening, man. I think these guys, if they do find these guys, I think they need to castrate them and just hang them up and just let them just go and let everybody do what they want to them.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Mr. Elias, you know, there's so many of those guys. You kill one, you know, you'd have to blow the whole nation up. It's just a sad situation. Folks, it is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the ladies out there. Coming up next, we're going to talk about affirmative action. Will it be around in 5 years? Thank you for spending this special day with us, ladies, and we'll talk to you on the other side after some smooth jazz. You're listening to the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show.
This is your resident map of the South, Moms and Little Donnas, kickstarting your weekend every Friday with Ladies First Radio, The J. Ryle Show, a show for women, by women. Tune in every Friday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as my co-host Princess Odelia and I discuss everyday issues and offer inspirational solutions. From the East Coast to the West Coast to all over the world, Ladies First Radio keeps it real, spreading positivity one show at a time. So come be uplifted with Ladies First Radio, The J. Ryle Show. Every Friday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Ladies First Radio, The J. Ryle Show. A show for women, by women.
Senator Day O'Connor wrote that in 25 years affirmative action may no longer be necessary. Is she right?
I would like to think that if we make good decisions and we invest in early childhood education, improved K-12, if we have done what needs to be done to ensure that kids who are qualified to go to college can afford it, that affirmative action becomes a diminishing tool for us to achieve racial equality in this society.
Welcome back. It's 34 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. Our call in number is 347-850-1272, 347-850-1272. We'd like to wish all the mothers out there a very happy Mother's Day on a special day. Hope you guys were served breakfast in bed, and hope you're listening to The Serious Side. Let's say good morning to our mothers that are on the panel this morning. First of all, she is the host of the True Purpose Development Show. I'm not going to go down the whole resume. Just want to say good morning to the one and only Dr. Princess Audea. Happy Mother's Day, and good morning to you.
Good morning, good morning, and happy Mother's Day to everyone out there.
And we have a special treat this morning. Usually she's on the J. Ryle Show, plus she is the host of The Explosion on her own network. But she's hanging out with us this morning, and it's always good to get the very serious perspective of the one and only Momo. B, good morning, and happy Mother's Day, sweetheart.
Good morning, and thank you very much. You got me all riled up over here, Jay. You got me all riled up.
I see. It's always good to get that fiery opinion on Sunday morning. Absolutely. And, of course, the man who runs everything around here, the one and only, my right-hand man, Mr. L.E.S. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, everyone, and happy Mother's Day to the ladies on the panel.
Thank you.
It's a beautiful day today. Hopefully everyone is enjoying their day, but, you know, we have business to attend to. We're talking about affirmative action. You know, right now, people, first of all, when you talk about affirmative action, you know, it exists when we're talking about admittance into college. You know, there was a case a couple of years ago, matter of fact, last year, of a young lady, white girl, who sued the University of Texas because she wanted to attend, and she was denied, and she sued them on racial discrimination. She says, because, look, her situation was a lot better as far as grades and you know, her standing. She should have been allowed into college. But yet and still, there were kids who were allowed of African-American descent and Hispanic descent who did not have maybe the GPA that she had. But the bottom line is, because affirmative action is in place, that they had to, you know, let these kids in. And so let me start with you, Mr. Elias. When you talk about affirmative action, is it time for us to really start looking at affirmative action and saying, wait a minute, there's, you know, there's no need for affirmative action at this point? What are your thoughts?
I never would say that, Jay. I mean, as long as there's racism out there, and we're fighting racism, look,
yes.
You can't tell me every company is hiring the most qualified person. You know, I got into my job field because of her affirmative action, and I believe in it. Because, you know, some without it, I wouldn't be where I was at. So, bottom line, you can't tell me that every person is giving the candidates the fair shake and saying, hey, look, I'm going to hire the best qualified person for the job. Where am I going to hire somebody that looks like me?
So you really and truly think that there's really no need for affirmative action? I mean, you're saying that affirmative action should stay around as long as racism is in place. But, you know, Mr. Elias, racism is not going anywhere. I mean,
so maybe,
you know,
it's an affirmative action.
Wow. Well, okay, I'll give you that. Let me go to you, Dr. Princess Audea. What do you think about this? Is it time for us to really reassess affirmative action and say, hey, wait a minute, you know, bottom line is we have a black president. You know, there are a lot of opportunities for African Americans. Why should, you know, if I'm a white person, and I'll tell you some of the comments that I received from white people who have responded to this. You know, bottom line is that we're in a free country. Why should you get an advantage because of your skin color? And your response will be what?
Well, seeing all of the how racism has definitely shown its truth recently, in the recent years, it has really become very clear that racism is not gone. Lends us more of a reason to keep affirmative action definitely alive. And look at what happened with the Clippers owner, you know?
With the what?
And with the Clippers owner.
Oh, okay.
And his position of racism. I mean, it's silent. Some of those people don't even expect they're racist. And honestly, if it wasn't for the affirmative action, so many people would not be where they are. So, no, yeah, we're in 2014, and racism has never been so clear in our country for many years. It's been kind of lying, you know, even though we've been privy of it. Yeah, we know. But for a long time, many people could argue and say, oh, no, this racism is bad. I mean, come on. We're in 2010. We're in 2011. People could say that. Well, let's just say before 2008, because before President Barack Obama got on the scene. And after that, it's just been coming up, the truth. And this year is just exploding. I mean, just so much more, you know. So it gives us more of a reason to keep it alive, definitely.
Moby, let me ask you, once again, affirmative action. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think it's time for us to really start reassessing, not necessarily getting rid of it, but reassessing its purpose? Well, what do you think about that?
No. I agree with Mr. Elias. As long as there's racism in the world, as long as we have people in charge viewing less fortunate as non-equals, then we should keep affirmative action. It was put there to make things more equal. It was put things to balance out and to prevent us from being kept down. It was made as a preventative measure. And as long as we still have the threat there, then we got to keep the preventative measure in place. It's just that simple. We got to keep it there. It's there for a reason. Nothing's changed, so why talk about getting rid of it? I don't understand that.
Mr. Elias, let me ask you a question now. You're the young white girl, right? You know, bottom line is that you didn't grow up during the 60s. I mean, as far as you know, you have very good friends who are black, and, you know, that world doesn't exist with you. So now you're trying to, you know, trying to get into college, and you're denied. Even though your grades are better, even though your situation is a lot better than the people who were taken, put yourself in her shoes. Would that be fair? Let's say that they did that to an African-American. Wouldn't you yell racism if your situation was a lot better and they accepted the white candidate over you? Wouldn't you be saying it's racism?
Well, all I could say is welcome to my world in that situation, Jay. Hell, we've dealt with that for
good response.
I don't know how many years.
That's a good response. I have to give you that.
How many years? How many years have we dealt with this? I mean, you know, look, man. The bottom line is this: racism isn't going anywhere, and it's prevalent in our world today. We talked about we elected the first African American president. We sure did, and racism has come out so prevalent now. It's unreal. So for us to sit here and say it's not existing, and people are getting hired because of who they are and what they are, and because of their talents, it's not working. You know, it's a good old boy network. You know, that's just the way it works, man. So, hey, look, I understand that if you want government contracts, that you got to hire so many people of color, not just African Americans, people of color. So, if you want a government contract and you want the government money, you got to play by that rule. That's in any job. So if you want that government money, play by the rules. If you don't, then don't. Just make your money another way.
But, okay, you said welcome to our world, which was a very witty remark, and I have to give you all props for that. But is it right, though? I mean, racism somewhere is injustice for everyone. So, I mean, if we're talking about, you know, Dr. King gave that speech, you know, Dr. Prince's idea, you know, saying that, hey, he wants his kids to be judged by the character of their content, not the color of their skin. But, you know, but here we are in a situation where, once again, you're the white girl, white young lady, white woman, and you're trying to get into college, and your qualifications are better. So why should you be denied? Because, you know, there's this thing out there saying that you have to allow so many minorities, regardless of whether they're more qualified than you or not. I mean, doesn't that sound like racism as well?
It does. but it balances itself out. That's what I'm going to say. Because more, I mean, it does. But the odds of them, the probability of them being able to go to another school or just have more choices, et cetera, it is a high, it's higher than ours. So I'm just going to say it balances itself out, you know. I believe, this is what I do believe, though.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that affirmative action is not intended or should not be used to disqualify someone who is qualified, but it should open the gate for someone who is qualified that otherwise wouldn't be in a certain setting. So
okay.
I don't believe that it should be used to say, okay, this one is qualified, more qualified. Now we're not going to qualify her. We have to meet the quota and get this person over here. I just don't. I believe that it should allow for when there is someone who is qualified, which it has been known in past and present for some of us to not be given the chance when we are qualified. So affirmative action should come into play, and they should, you know, if that person realizes, you know, maybe in a position, I used to work for Ford Motor Company, and I was in the executive office at the headquarters, so it was a lot of racism. It started in 89 back then. And I was told by the human resources director on, you know, privately, as it took them a very long time from my, God, I was interviewed to pieces, man. It was from one interview to just a waiting period took a very long time. And then they called me in, and the man said to me, I said, what took them so long? Why is it taking so long? And he said to me, they're calling you back. He said, because they didn't know if you were black or not. I said, you're kidding. And he was a European. And that was that. I said, wow, okay. And he told me between, he was, you know, just talking D&I. And I don't know. I mean, I know that I qualified. But I know that it put them in the position to have to respond to that, because he said I was the most qualified and that was unanimous. But they wanted to see what my color was. So it's very prevalent. I mean, that was back in 89. But people still live with that type of thing today. So I think that it should be used. If you are qualified, then you should be allowed, you should get the job. But in past, then you could be qualified and you still wouldn't get it. Because they had nothing that was put in place that would make them responsible for that. So.
Well, let me ask you, Momo B, when we talk about this and we say that, you know, once again, you're the white student, and it just sounds to me that if the shoe was on the other foot, if this happened to an African-American young lady, that people would be up in arms. And so what makes it any different? Some young white student is saying, hey, look, my friends, you know, I'm friends with Shaniqua. Me and her are good to go. So why am I in a situation where I can't get into college, but I know my situation and my, you know, I'm better. I mean, you know, my qualifications are better. If we're saying that people should be hired and accepted based on their qualifications solely, then that contradicts. When it contradicts what we're saying about affirmative action, right, or no?
No, it does not. The reason we have affirmative action is because they were picking all of a certain group and none of us. That's the whole reason, and that's what it is. Now, the little white girl thinks that she's being overlooked, that happens to everybody. I'm sure if she looked to her left, there's a black girl that's just as smart as she is that didn't get into the same school because there was no more spot for her. How about that? I'm sure there was quite a few, perhaps. So, it happens all the time. Affirmative action is here, but it doesn't help everybody. It's not all over. It's not in every corporate office. It's not in every school. It doesn't help me today with all the problems because of my skin color. So it's here, but it doesn't play a big part of the whole United States of America that we got to get rid of it and say it's not there. So, what she need to do is she need to get Shaniqua grab her hand and then look to over there and get Marcia, who's smarter than her, and they all need to go down to the school and do what they got to do. If you want to go to court, go to court. There's recourses for unfairness, injustice in life. So that's what she needs to do. Go to court, write a paper, write a letter, put a stamp on it, do what she got to do. And that's what it is. There's actions and there's reactions. Let her reaction be fertile. But you're not going to throw away the whole system just because she's bad, because she's feeling what we felt for so many years. Please, get out of here.
Tim, before the top of the hour, you're listening to The Serious Side of the J. Rao Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. The call-in number is 347-850-1272, 347-850-1272. Happy Mother's Day to you and yours, all the ladies out there, all the special moms. Coming up next, we're going to talk about mothers. We're going to take a look at African-American mothers in particular, and we're going to reminisce about some of the stories with our moms. I mean, it's just that day, and I think we should spend some time doing that. But once again, you can be in. You can get in. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call. Or you can listen. Entirely up to you. But you are in tune to The Serious Side. We're talking about, is affirmative action really needed? So here's my question, because now people are going to the Supreme Court, Mr. Elias, on this. Do you think it'll be around within the next 5 years?
No, they're trying to get rid of it. Man, they're vehemently they're trying to get rid of it. Come on, man, because they've realized, hey, look, this isn't fair for me. I can't get over it anymore. I can't. This isn't right. Why is this happening to me now? Well, guess what? It's been happening to me for years. So they're upset about it. Of course they're upset about it, because now the shoe's on the other foot. That's why they're trying to get rid of affirmative action right now. It's prevalent, and it's happening, and it's in their face. Whereas that, okay, and Jay Work said it best, man, in the chat room. Affirmative action don't only work for people of color, it works for females too, even white females. It helps them out. So, you know, when we look, you got to have a certain amount of females. It don't say women of color, it just says females. So when we talk about affirmative action, it helps more than just us. It helps a lot of people. It levels the playing field out. So for us to sit here and say we should get rid of it, why? Why do we need to get rid of it?
Yeah, well. What about you, Dr. Princeton? Do you think it'll be around in 5 years?
Absolutely. I feel that it will. I don't believe that, especially with the signs of the time now and the things that have become even more clear, I believe that it will definitely remain.
As long as we got Clarence Thomas in there.
Exactly right. All right, and I think I've asked you, Ms. Elias, and so look, let's get our final thoughts on this particular topic. Let me check in. Looks like I'm not sure if Stiletto wants to get back in. Let me open his mic. Stiletto, do you have a comment on this?
No, I don't. I'm just sitting back listening. It's sounding good.
All right. Appreciate you. So anyway, listen, if you call in, we definitely want you to participate in it. And if you have a comment or whatever, raise your hand. If you called in and we've already taken your call, you can press 1 to take yourself out the queue. And then we'll know if you want to come back in. We definitely want to make sure we hear from everyone here on the Serious Side. All right. Look, our final thoughts on this particular topic. Momo B, go. What are your final thoughts on it?
Should affirmative action be here in 5 years? Yes, it should. And it better be. There's a reason for it, and it's working. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
There you go. Appreciate you. Dr. Princess O'Dea, your final thoughts on this topic?
Yes, affirmative action should remain. It's been doing its job, so I agree. If it's not broken, don't fix it. Let's keep it moving.
All right. Of course, the man who gets the first and last word, Ms. Elias, final comments on this particular topic, my friend.
Well, affirmative action, I don't think affirmative action will be here in 5 years. It should be, but I don't think so because of the state of Michigan. The state of Michigan was a testing ground for the first part of the affirmative action, and they ruled it unconstitutional. So will it be here? I don't think so. But, you know, we'll see. We will see. But it needs to be affirmative action. I need to go anywhere. It needs to stay.
All right. Well, folks, we've been saying all morning long, happy Mother's Day to you and yours. Coming up next, we're going to talk about African-American moms. We're going to sit back and tell stories about some of our fondest childhoods and stories about our mothers. It is Mother's Day. It's the Mother's Day edition of The Serious Side. We'll be back after some more smooth jazz. Keep it right here. Don't go nowhere.
This is a test.
As we jump into the second set with laughter, a hearty laughter from Tommy Styles. Welcome back in, folks. 347-850-1272.
A show for women, by women. Is your resident map of the South, my little daughter.
Good Sunday morning to you, folks, and welcome into the serious side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jazz Jazz Cafe.
Welcome back. You are tuning in to the True Purpose Development Show. Tonight, we...
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
This one goes out to moms.
On behalf of all the kids in the world,
here are two things every mom needs to know.
Number one, put down your phone.
Unless your kid is named phone.
Number two, don't name your kid phone.
That's just not right. That's messed up.
Number three,
we love you. It's just sometimes we don't know how to say it.
Sometimes it just comes out screaming or crying.
But the next time your kid screams,
you know what they're really saying is, I love you, Mom.
You're beautiful. Thank you for not naming me phone.
Your place for smooth jazz every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network online radio, and especially those were the sounds of Brian Culberson. Glad you guys are tuned in. It's the Serious Side. Happy Mother's Day to you and yours and all the mothers out there. Appreciate you spending a portion of your special day with us. Once again, we have the panel in-house. The very lovely Dr. Princess Ardea is here with us. Good morning and happy Mother's Day to you.
Good morning, and thank you. Happy Mother's Day to everyone out there.
Also, happy Mother's Day to the one and only Momo B. She's sitting in with us this morning, folks, and you can hear a little bit of that fiery sauce that we get every Wednesday and Saturday, but we love having her here this morning. Good morning, Momo B, and happy Mother's Day.
Good morning, and thank you, and I'm glad to be here.
And, of course, the man who keeps the anchor in place, the one and only Mr. L.E.S. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, everyone, and happy Mother's Day to the ladies on the panel once again.
Thank you.
And happy Mother's Day to all our listeners as well. We're going to talk about African-American mothers during this segment. I think it's important for us to do that. I think a lot of young men were raised by single parents. And, you know, listen, we can bash daddies on another day. But, you know, the bottom line is, Mr. Elias, you know, I told this story before, and I'll tell it again, how I was in a room with a bunch of brothers my age, and we were all talking, and the thing that we all had in common, our fathers weren't around, you know, and so, you know, we're talking about people who were born in the 60s. And so, you know, let's talk about how important the African-American mom is, especially for those single mothers out there who are doing their thing. What are your thoughts on that?
Referring to me,
you're Mr.
LAS. I applaud any woman that's out there doing their thing, man. I mean, you know, because it's hard enough to raise a family. But to do it by yourself, man, you know, that takes one hell of a person to do it by themselves. And, you know, hey, man, what else could be said besides these women what Karen White affectionately calls them, super women. You know, there are super women out there, and I applaud them. There's nothing else to be said besides they're some of the best human beings on this earth to just take care of their seeds and whatever it takes to take care of them, they're doing it.
You know, Dr. Princess Ardea, I know you didn't see this, but I'm going to encourage people to go out and look at the MVP speech. Kevin Durant won the MVP, and he gave a speech for the ages. And if you didn't tear up after watching that, then, you just don't have blood flowing through your system. But he talked about how his mother worked several jobs, that his mom had gone through situations where she didn't eat just to ensure that her boys ate. And he told the story about when they got their first apartment, how they didn't have any furniture, but they all kind of laid in the middle of the living room floor, and they were hugging each other, and they thought they had made it. Now, this is a family just had an apartment with no furniture. But it's amazing when you're a child, the sacrifices that your mom makes and how it resonates with you when you get older. Because one of the things that his mom said afterwards was she didn't even think he would remember. She didn't know he remembered that whole thing. It just goes to show the power of love and the power of a single mother determined to try to make things right for her family. Your thoughts?
Yes. This is so true. I want to reflect on my mom. Who in one period in our childhood she didn't have. And I'll never forget, it was very cold one day, and we were getting out of the car, and I, you know, my sister, brother, and I, we were all bundled up, I mean, from head to toe. Mm-hmm. And my mom barely had anything on, and I noticed that. So I looked up to her, and I said, Mommy, aren't you cold? And she said, are you warm, baby? Oh, my God, I'll never forget that. And that was her answer. It was like, that's all that matters, is that I was warm.
and that we were warm, you know. So I remember that. I remember the sacrifices, and then today being a single mom. I mean, I told somebody, I called my brother a little while ago, well, about a few months ago, and I said to him, I said, Alvin, I'm a single mother. I haven't had, like, you know, I didn't, I've always just taken life as a stride. I just didn't, I didn't have a lot of suffering financially or anything like that, raising them. I've just been enjoying. And then you realize your mom, you know, have the father around to help you with your son, you know, and that's a big deal because they go through things and, you know. So, yeah. Yeah, I now even have more respect for my mom because she had three children. She was pretty young, and she did a darn good job. She left us. She always kept us clean. We're all very successful, and she didn't have much. She made it happen, and she did the best that she could, and I want to say, hey, mommy. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I know there are some of us, and I'm going to be now for those who are not regular listeners of the J. Ryle Show, and they may not know who you are, but, you know, we all know that your mom is no longer with us. And so as we celebrate Mother's Day, and, you know, and listen, you don't have to answer this question. I've always wanted to talk to people who have lost their moms. And, you know, what goes through your mind during this day, during the fact that your mom is no longer with us?
Well, first I want to talk, I lost my mother when I was 10 years old, so I was a kid when she passed, but I do know that she loved us. She adored us. She really did. And I adored her because she was beautiful. She was the most beautiful lady I ever laid my eyes on. She really was. I'm not just saying that. You can go look at a picture. You will agree, yes. But I do. I miss her so much. And I look back. And it wasn't until I was older, you know, as a teenager, that I realized how, you know, how unfortunate we were, where we lived in the South Bronx and the projects, and we didn't have a lot, but we didn't really need a lot. You know, the mothers are there to make a way out of no way. Yes, my father was in the home, so it's not like he wasn't there, but my mother was just so strong. She made it work, you know, and I think that the strength of her love was why I didn't even notice that we were unfortunate. I felt just as good as the children on the north side. You know, I didn't feel like I was any less. But when I grew older, I was like, hey, yes, when you get money, you start to realize, okay, yeah, this is how it's supposed to be done. But like I said, love is love. When I go through these days, now she's been gone a long time. So, you know, it never gets any easier per se, but you learn how to live with it. And now that, you know, I have children of my own, is different. When I didn't have any children, Mother's Day was really hard because I didn't have any children. Now I have children who come to me and hug me and give me all the love, gifts and all that stuff. So it makes it easier. And I always tell them, oh, I wish your grandmother was here. So we have those stories. And the thing about my family is we keep my mother alive. She's just not gone and never talked about. She's not like that. I had a certain side of my family. They really didn't talk about my mother growing up. They didn't say anything about it, and I had to go live with them. And it was like, don't talk about her, because I guess they didn't want us to feel sad or whatever. But you have to talk about her. You got to don't act like she never existed. So
right.
That's different. We keep her alive in this house. And so she's right here with us today. She's right here with us. As a matter of fact, she better eat those eggs.
That is just wonderful. That's wonderful stuff, and thank you so much for sharing that information. You know, when you think about the sacrifice, you know, Mr. Elias, one of the things that we talk about, and, you know, and I heard that in Dr. Princess Aldea's story and Momo B's story, how, you know, mothers make things invisible. You know, you think that you were the bomb diggity. I remember, you know, just growing up, and I had a pair of baggies that my mom bought me. And, you know, man, I ironed those damn things so much that the outside was dark and the inside was light. But, you know, I thought I was the man. I mean, I really did. I didn't realize that, you know, I only had like maybe one or two pair of pants or three. You know, I'm not going to say one or two, but, you know, we struggled. I mean, we weren't on food stamps or anything like that. But my mom, you know, definitely tried to make a way out of no way, bringing up three kids. You know, with no man in the house, and you know, it's amazing how moms can go through and just make things seem right. Now that we're grown people, we're saying, damn, you know, we were, you know, we were on the brink, you know. But right now, you know, those are my favorite pants, my little baggy pants and, you know, my two-tone baggy pants because I ironed them so much they were different colors. Your thoughts?
Well, you know what, man, I wasn't raised in a single parent home. Thank God my father was there for me. But we did struggle too because my father was the only breadwinner in the house, and he wasn't making that much money. But I always often tell the story where, you know, I always tell my mother I thought we were rich because we would have breakfast for dinner, and you know we had eggs and pancakes and sausage. And my mother, I was like, man, I thought we were on top. And my mother said, idiot. She said that was flour and eggs that I could put together and make pancakes and sausage. It was the cheapest meal I could make. And I never thought about that until I got older, and I was like, wow, you know, mom put it down. And then my mother would always, like Momo D said, my mother would make something out of nothing for a meal. And, man, it was great, man. You know, I think my mother's one of the greatest women on this earth, and I won't take nothing away from her. You know, her own spun wisdom has kept me alive and well for all these years, man. I thank God. She's 94 years old, and as soon as we get off this show, I'm heading to spend a day with her and just spend a day with her and love her. You know? And one thing about my mother, I can't bring her flowers or anything because she'll ask me, I'm not dead, why are you bringing me flowers? So,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, I know Mama, she's something else. It's 15 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network. Online radio at its best, 347-850-1272. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. We're reminiscing about Mom. We're talking about African-American mothers and the sacrifices that they've had to make. And so when you sit back and kind of, you know, one of the things that I got into somewhat of a spat with a friend of mine not too long ago. We were talking about African-American mothers, and he's one of these guys that, says, hey, you know, single mothers, they're single for a reason. And, you know, and I'm saying, okay, well, what's the reason? And he talked about how, you know, you have some girls who just lay up with men and have babies on top of babies. And then, you know, his comment was, why are we applauding that type of behavior? I says, well, you know what, you can't make that blanket statement saying that all ladies are in that situation. You do have ladies who were, you know, married and were divorced, or, you know, everyone makes mistakes. But then, you know, I thought about this, Dr. Prince's idea, and I said, I says, now, was he being a jerk, or is there some validity to what he said? The fact that you do have situations where you have young ladies who have babies, right, and they continue to have babies by, you know, single men. Then he brought up a situation of a young lady that he knew that had five kids, and they have five different daddies. So he said the reason why he won't celebrate single moms, and, you know, I don't agree with this, but he said because of the fact that you have some mothers out there who put themselves in that situation. So, you know, if you're going to be put in that situation, why are we celebrating the fact that you are, you know, laying up with all these different men? And I'm like, I said, let me bring it up to the show panel and talk about it. So what do you think about that statement?
Well, we've had this discussion before. Bottom line, I think that's ludicrous. Your mom. We're not talking about how you did it. Because at the end of the day, she knows that she had different daddies and all kinds of things, and yes, it's an irresponsible act when you do that. Mm-hmm. But she also could have had an abortion. She also did not necessarily, if she's a good mom, she's a good mom, however she got the kids, okay? Mm-hmm. There are plenty of people out here who are not taking care of their children at all. Now, that's a different story. Now, if you want to talk about a mother that's not taking care of her children, then let's have a discussion. But because a mom had different, you know, baby daddy, I don't believe that's fair. Absolutely not. There are many men out here who have all kind of kids straying around, okay? Some that they choose to not even admit, and it's open. they have, you know, 6, 7, 9 children. And I don't hear people talking about that, okay?
Right.
So
at all. Okay, so a mom is a mom, and it's still her responsibility to be a mom to her children. And if she is doing that, then my hat goes off to her. Whether
I think we may have lost her. You know, your thoughts on that particular statement, Ms. Delias? I mean, yeah, it's delicate, but I, you know, I guess, first of all, he had a blanket statement. I disagree with that whole thing, but I started thinking about the other part of it, and he brought up that lady with the five different daddies, and she's getting assistance from the state, but, you know, she won't use protection, and she's doing that type of thing. So what are your thoughts on that, sir? Did we lose Ms. Delias as well? Well, okay, I can't wait to hear. Mama B, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm here.
What are your comments on that?
Well, first and foremost, I don't know what he means by celebrating single moms. Like, who's asking to do what? I don't celebrate single moms because that sounds foolish to me. Single is just an adjective that describes my condition right now. That's all
right.
It is. So if you want to celebrate single moms, you celebrate the single mothers who you think are doing good, who's taking care of their kids, who's holding it down, who's
good
doing
point.
What she got to do to take care of the household. That's just it. It's just like some people might say, oh, that's not a good mother over there. Some people are not good mothers. They don't have to be single to be not a good mother. They're a married woman that's not good mothers. So you want to, quote-unquote, celebrate that person because she does not classify as a woman you would celebrate or give kudos to. So when you want to give kudos to somebody, you're not going to say, oh, I'm not going to celebrate no single woman because of this one who has five children and don't need protection and is on welfare. If you don't want to give your kudos to her because she's not living up to your standards, per se, then just don't. But don't say, I don't celebrate no single mothers because you sound like an idiot.
That's a good point. You're right. I mean, the bottom line is that don't put them all in the same category, because you do have some that are out there single by no choice of their own. And, you know, we all make mistakes. And the bottom line is, I think that when we say things like that, I think that shows somewhat of an ignorant statement. I think there is some validity to that. I think if you are in a situation where you know that, I don't know, for a woman to have five kids and have five different baby daddies, I'm not following that. I think that there is a serious problem with that.
I'm sorry, you can have five or six or seven kids by the same baby daddy and still be on welfare, still be good, still be all those things that he's mentioning as trying to give himself a reason why he don't celebrate single moms. That it doesn't make sense. It really doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. You're absolutely correct. You could be, regardless of your status. I mean, the bottom line is that you need to definitely do the right thing when it comes by your children. I think that's what Mother's Day is all about. It's about the fact that, you know, doing the right thing for your children. And regardless of how they got here, you know, you have to do the right thing by them. And, you know, there are things about... I'll say this. There are some things I found out about my mom. You know, once I become an adult, and I'm like, come on now, Mama, what was up with that? But at the end of the day, you know, she did the right thing, and you know, my mother, you know, played the role of not only of my mom, but she was my dad as well. And you know, when people make those statements where, you know, it takes a man to raise a child, I disagree with that, because my mother raised me. And I think I turned out to be a hell of a man. And I think that her values that she instilled in me at a very young age, you know, I carry those to this day. And I try to instill those in my daughters.
Can I ask you a question, Jay?
Yes, ma'am.
Do we have time? Okay.
Yeah.
People do say that a woman can't raise a man and all that stuff. And you said your mother, you think that your mother did a good job with you. But I want to ask you this question. Do you think you would have been an even better man or had a better insight on raising your girls if you had a father in the home?
That's a good question. And you know, it's unfortunately I would never be able to answer that, because obviously that situation didn't exist. But, you know, I think about it, you know, I don't know how much better I'm not saying this to you know, don't. I'm not trying to sound conceited or anything. I just don't know how much better I would be. I think that when it comes to my daughters, I'm very protective of my children. I go out of my way to do what I can for my children. There's nothing that my children can't ask me for. I try to teach them values. I don't just give them everything they want. You know, I can. If I had a dollar for every teacher who's walked up to me and says, you know, your kids are the best kids in my class, I mean, I'd be a millionaire. And I'm not saying that to brag. It's just a fact. So, you know, I think I've done a damn good job with them. And, you know, not only, you know, listen, with every child, you know, Mr. Elias, you can attest to this, even though you did have pops in the house. You know, as you go through life, you're going to have male figures that are going to play that role for you. I mean, my football coaches were people that played that role. You know, when I was in basic training and in the military, there were men that I ran across during my development that attributed to me being the man that I am, too. So I'm not going to sit here and say that my mother was the only influence on me when it comes to, you know, me being the type of man that I am now. But when you hear that statement always irks me when I hear it. It takes a man to, you know, a mother can't teach her son how to be a man. I'm like, that's bull crap. Because even if a father was in the home, there are outside influences that will help shape that man. So I'm not sure if I buy that statement per se.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got to agree with you there, Jay. I mean, you know, so many women have raised great men. Look at the President of the United States. His father was a man in his life. So, you know, the bottom line is, man, look, man, if you're a great parent, you're a great parent. That's the way that thing works. And the bottom line is that, you know, if you got a great parent and they keep these influences, because we all need our, even with my father then, I still had outside influences to help me, you know, become the man that I've become. Because, you know, some, if I step out of line in my neighborhood, some of the men in that neighborhood would whoop my butt, even if my father wasn't around, and they took care of business. And I mean, that's the difference between today and yesterday. It was a village raising children. It wasn't a single mother raising a child.
Right, exactly. And when you sit back and think about how, you know, we develop, you know, even your peers, you know, there were young men who were in my life growing up, you know, guys that were my age. They were able to influence me because they did have a father in the home. And, you know, and so they would take that out to the street. So there's so many people involved in developing a young man. I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, you had to have a father in the home. It would have been nice. I wish I could have experienced that, but, you know, unfortunately that didn't happen. But to make sure that we focus on, you know, the who are really the stars of the day, which are our moms, you know, I just think about all the personal sacrifices that, you know, your mom makes. And I think even when you become an adult, I think it even means even more to you, because now you know the sacrifices that you're making as an adult for your child. And I don't think kids understand that. And they won't understand that until they have kids of their own, Mama B. I just don't think they understand the sacrifices that not only does their father, that fathers make, but more often than not, moms, because like the story I told at the top of the segment, you know, listen, I know a lot of guys my age who really don't know where their fathers are. And when you think about, you know, the impact that their mothers have had on their lives, you really don't realize the sacrifices your mom made until you are an adult yourself.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Mothers, that's what we do. We sacrifice. We think about our children first before we think about ourselves all the time. That is just, it's just instinct. Children come first. That's it. Nobody else.
That's the way it should be. There's no doubt about that. It's almost the bottom of the hour. You're listening to The Serious Side of the Jay Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network online radio. It is best 347-850-1272 is our calling number. We're celebrating Mother's Day. Today is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. And hopefully either you're on your way to give your mom a hug if she's still with us, or, you know, maybe you're on your way to church, and after church you're going to have dinner with mom. Whatever the case may be, we want you to enjoy that day and make mom feel special, because you never know, you know, if this is your last Mother's Day with your mom. So make sure that you definitely do those things. And listen, treat every day as Mother's Day. Don't have one particular day out the year where you kind of go out of your way. You know, Mr. Elias, the thing that brings a chuckle to my heart is I remember that commercial a few years back where they showed all these ladies answering the phone and they were fainting. You remember that commercial?
Yeah.
And it was their sons calling them, and they were like, oh, my God, you know, the sons were calling their moms on Mother's Day, and they were like, huh? They usually don't call, so don't let that be you. You make sure that you stay in contact with your mom and call her and make sure that you reach out to her. So now what I want us to do now, keep in mind, first of all, a programming note, because, you know, it's Mother's Day and Jerome Esprit is not here, we're not going to do by on a need-to-know basis today, so we're going to stop the show here at the top of the hour to give people an opportunity to celebrate with their moms. So, but what I want to do now is go around. I want to hear a funny Mother's Day story. Give me a story, a funny story about your mom. Let me start with you, Ms. Elias. Give me one.
A funny story about my mother. Wow.
Yeah.
wow, I don't know if I can tell this on the air, but we were at my house. We were at my mother's house one Christmas, and we got—I don't know how we got on the subject of sex or whatever—but my mother was telling the women at the house, she said, "Y'all ain't got good muscles in your stuff unless you can sit in the bath water and pick up some water and hold it up there and let it out." And then my mom was like,
"Okay, Miss Elias, man, wait a minute now." I'm pretty sure there's another story out there. You didn't have to tell that one on Sunday morning, sir.
This is what comes to mind. So, and my mother, and all the women in the house just looked at my mother with their mouths open. And my mother, as my mother's getting older, these are things she's just starting to blurt out. And she's like, wow, I can't believe you saying this. And she's like, yeah. She said, unless y'all can hold stuff up there, you ain't going to never be nothing. You ain't going to never keep no man. I was like, oh, boy. So, that's just my mother. That
is
my mother.
Oh, my gosh. Mama B, give me a funny story about your mom.
Well, I just want to talk, because I don't have a lot of funny stories, per se, that, you know, that's really
story.
Interesting, because, you know, at the age that she died. But I just want to talk about her her spirit, and she was always a dancer. She liked to dance and she liked to sing, and she could speak Spanish because she was born in Panama, so she could speak Spanish. Mm. So she would sing the songs. She would sing her little Spanish songs, and we would all get dressed up because she loved to wear her wigs too. She would get dressed up, and we would put on her wigs, and we would dance around the living room. And the living room, oh my God, the living room was off limits to us. It was only used on special occasions. So when she found her mood and she put on the high five with her songs and she let us come in the living room, what? And dance around all dressed up, it would be just the funniest thing ever. We would look funny, we would act funny. And another thing she would do, we used to have this tape recorder. She would record everything. Everything she would record. And then we listen to it later on in the night. And we just listen to all the stuff that we said during the day. And it was just so funny. It was so funny. Her laugh was phenomenal. And like I said, her speaking Spanish, dancing around, those are just times that I wish I just have a little 10 minutes of it back. Just a little 10 minutes. It was awesome. Very much awesome. That's why it didn't seem like we didn't have anything, because we always had love and laughter in the house.
Absolutely. You know, and Mother's Day is not only for, you know, your mother. I mean, you know, I think about my grandmother on this day. My grandmother was, you know, a very special lady to me. And, you know, I get emotional thinking about her because, you know, first of all, her birthday just passed on May 5th. Love you, Grandma. And I just think about all the things she did
too.
As well. Is that right? Yeah, May 5th was my grandmother's birthday. And, you know, it's, you know, you think about grandmothers. Grandmothers fill that void as well. When you look at some of You know, a lot of African-American kids, I remember the young lady, well, I'm not going to say young lady, the grandma who called us, who reached out to us and asked us to, you know, talk to, have a show about her grandson. She was concerned about her grandson getting mixed up with the wrong people. And, you know, apparently the grandson was there because of something that was going on with the mom. There are a lot of situations like that, Ms. Elias, where you have grandmothers who are raising grandkids because either the mother, you know, maybe the mother's no longer with us, maybe the mother is strung out on something, or, you know, for whatever reasons, the grandmother had to assume that role. And, you know, so I think we need to remember grandmas as well on Mother's Day, on this day as well.
Without a doubt, man. You know, I remember my grandmother, man. I love when she comes to town because when I was a kid, my mother, you know, my mother used to put me up on a chair and make me wash dishes because they were teaching me, you know, hey, you got to have responsibilities in life, so, hey, you don't wash dishes. When my grandmother would come to town, she was like, no, my baby don't wash no dishes. He just going to sit here and watch TV with me. And I was like, Lord, I love you. Yeah, I love you, bro. I love you.
Oh, man, we're celebrating Mothers today here on The Serious Side because every year, you know, it's always good. This is one of the shows I always look forward to because, you know, regardless, come hell or high water, we are going to be on the air on Mother's Day, and it's always nice and fun to be able to reminisce about moms, and I think that, you know, more shows ought to do that. I mean, you know, you have these people who are very successful out there. They have these shows and TV shows, but to me, you just have to spend time to give it up to the person who brought you here because without her, you would not be here. And so, Dr. Princess O'Dea, we were telling stories about our moms, and we just want to hear a funny story or just a story in general about your mother on this special day.
Well, my mom, I don't know if I should do my mom or my grandmother. Because we are going to talk about grandmothers, too, because I didn't get a chance to say Happy Mother's Day out there in the astral world. My grandmother, who has passed on, but was so influential in my life. She was a very wise woman, never judged, but always understood. And it was just an amazing, amazing life. And she also had a lot of humor. So I want to share something about Mother, who I love so much. And we had a great, great bond and connection. My grandmother, every morning, first of all, Mother always cooked. She always had food at home. There were always some greens and some cornbread. And in the morning, she always would make these wonderful sandwiches to get up and make. And sometimes we would have talk in the morning. We'd sit at the table and converse. Well, Mother, one morning, she said to me, she said, sit down for a minute, baby. And I sat down and I said, what's going on, Mother? She said, well, I got a call from my girlfriend. And she was walking home last night on a visitor, and she said that a young man came and stole her pocketbook. I said, oh, my God, is she okay? She said, well, he also raped her. I said, oh, my God. I said, Mother, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Is she okay? She said, girl, she said, it's okay. She said it was so good, she's going to go back tonight.
Oh, my God. Wow. You guys, your Mother's Day stories this morning on a Sunday family show. Wow, I'm just not feeling these, but go ahead.
But that was just Mother being humorous. And then Mother was always full of humor and full of wisdom. And this is what I want to say. Today, when I look around and I see mothers, I really want to encourage the mothers to really, really spend some time alone, learning who you are, becoming personally, really focusing on your personal self so that you can be that wisdom that the children need. There's so much, you're having young mothers having children, and then by the time the grandmother is a grandmother, the grandmother's still a young woman herself. And our youth, unfortunately, suffers the lack of wisdom. There's not a lot of wisdom with these new moms. being a mom is not just waking up and seeing the kids off to school. And, I mean, that's a big deal. But it's not just that. Our children need to be heard, their voices. In spite of how we may go through different challenges, and we do as single moms, we go through some things. We make some things happen that some of us, some of our stories, we'll take to our grave. We won't tell anybody. But in that process, there's room also for agitation and we can get irritated with kids, upset, quick tempered. And sometimes parents, I've seen them just totally alienate the child as a result of their own suffering. And it's time for us to really take responsibility for ourselves. Don't worry about these men. Okay, yeah, you know, you have some women, you know, you need a man, you want a man, you feel like you want a man, et cetera, et cetera. Don't let that be your focus. Don't suffer your children at the hand of your desires of a man.
Yeah.
But instead, focus on you. When we get ourselves together, spend some time with us, cultivate us, then we're able to understand what it means to be happy in spite of circumstances, what it means to be strong and still be positive. You can be strong and not be evil or irritated or angry.
Yep.
And sometimes, yeah, you're going to be angry. You'll show that. But when you got you together, you're self-empowered, focused on you, then you are able to be the wisdom and that mother to the child that is needed. You're able to communicate. You're able to see straight.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my message, and that's what mother did. That's what my mom did. I was raised around a bunch of men. Men weren't in and out of my house. I don't remember that. I don't know of that. But I had this. That's
okay.
What I was like.
All right. Well, good story. Good stuff. Well, we're finishing up here. Like I said before, just a programming note, because it's Mother's Day and the fact that Jerome Esprit is not here with us this morning, we will be ending the show here at the top of the hour. There will be no On a Need-to-Know Basis because Jerome does an outstanding job with that, and quite frankly, I can't even remotely come close to what he does with that segment. So we're shut it down early today, but we're celebrating Mother's today because it is Mother's Day, and we're going to give our final thoughts here. Because don't worry now. Before we go, it's coming up next, plus Chatterbox, thoughts and remarks from social media. All that's coming up here shortly. But let's do our final thoughts on this particular topic. And Momo B, let me go with you first. Final thoughts on this particular topic.
I just want to wish everybody a happy Mother's Day. Enjoy the rest of your day. I also want to say the Explosion featuring the Evolutionary Momo B is doing a Mother's Day tribute tonight at 9 o'clock. So I hope to see you guys there. Yes, it's going to be, you know, the Momo B-ish stuff that always happens. So come on and stop by and have some fun. We're going to have some music, some laughter, some jokes. It's going to be a blast. And I want to leave you with a little word. It takes someone really brave to be a mother, someone strong to raise a child, and someone special to love someone more than herself. Yes, that's what real mothers do, and I appreciate every one of you.
So now, did you read that from somewhere, or did you
No, I read that on somebody on Facebook had that on their page, and I was like, wow, excellent, love it.
That sums it up, without a doubt, that definitely sums it up. Thank you so much, Dr. Princess Audilia. Give me your final thoughts pertaining to mothers and Mother's Day.
I just want to say happy Mother's Day to all of those who are mothers out there, regardless if you know the father or not. Happy Mother's Day to you. And I would like to say once you become self-empowered, the mirage of love will fade and the reality of love will become your only tolerance. Mothers, spend time with you. Become self-empowered so that you can be that wisdom that your children need.
Well, what's well said. Mr. L.E.S., man, give me your final thoughts when it pertains to moms on Mother's Day.
Well, I'd like to just say Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers out there that are holding it down and keeping their families intact. And I'd like to say a very special Happy Mother's Day to Vera Morris. Baby, I love you. You've always been my rock, and you'll always be my rock.
All right. And before we go, I definitely have to tell this story because I think everyone got an opportunity to tell a story besides me. And so I have to tell this story. I know my mom's not going to be happy because, you know, she's just not. But I'm telling this story anyway. I remember when I was, I think I was 16 or 17 anyway, I had a curfew. I had to be in at a certain time, like most people, right? Well, you know, I'm out with my buddies. I'm like, you know what, curfew, smurfew, I'm going to hang out tonight, you know. Now, when I was younger, I played football, so I would have episodes where my knee would lock up. But I'm not going to tell that story. I'm going to tell this story. So anyway, so I was out with my friends and buddies, and so, you know, I stayed in my room was in the basement. You know, most young boys want to be away from the house and be away from the rest of the family, and the best way to do that is to have a room in the basement because the basement was like your own domain, per se. Even though the washroom was down there, it didn't belong to you, but it felt like it was your place. So anyway, I'm out and about. I had to be home at, I think, was it 12 o'clock? It was 1 o'clock. I can't remember. I think it was 12 midnight. So anyway, I'm come rolling up in this joint. First of all, I'm late. I'm like an hour and a half late. And I'm like, man, oh, man, how am I going to do this? You know, because I know my mother is going to be pissed. So I live on a one-way street. So here I am thinking about how am I going to tactically get in this house without my mother knowing that, you know, I'm past my curfew. And so I drive up the one-way street, and I get all this speed. And so when I turn the corner real fast, I come around the corner, I cut the car off, cut the lights off, and let the car coast all the way up to the house because I don't want her to hear the car on the outside. So I coast up to the front of the house. So I stop, you know, Miss Elias, that Volkswagen Rabbit. So I said, okay.
Yeah.
First things first, I'm in front of the house, I'm good. It's almost 2 o'clock in the morning. So I walk around the side of the house, and I'm thinking I'm going to go in because the back door connects directly to the basement, and I can go straight in, you know, I'm in. I get to the back door. The back door is bolted shut, which meant my mother knew that I was late. So I guess at 12, the door was locked. I'm like, oh, snap. What am I going to do? The only other way to get in the house was to actually go in through the front door, and we lived in one of those older homes in the Gary, Indiana area. And so, you know, the floor would squeak and all types of things. But I would have to walk right past my mother's bedroom, right? And so I'm like, oh, my goodness. So now I'm sitting outside thinking, how am I going to do this? Do I low crawl through the house? You know, what do I do? Because I'm late, and I know she knows I'm late. So so I walk up the stairs. I go through the first, we had like a little atrium area there. So I walk in through the first door, close the door. So now I'm in this little pocket between doors. I'm like, okay, whew, so far so good. Dog's not barking, I'm good to go. So I open this door going into the house itself. And, you know, it takes a matter of, you know, seconds to get through the house. But it took me about 3 minutes for me to walk, I don't know, maybe 4 feet, because I'm trying to creep in because I don't want my mom to catch me. And as soon as I thought that I had cleared her bedroom, Mr. Elias, I turned around, and all I remember was a big flashing light. And the next thing I remember was I woke up, and I had this yellow towel over my face, and I heard my mom tell my sister, if he doesn't wake up in a few minutes, we're going to take him to the hospital. My mother had hit me with a freaking frying pan across the head, and she had knocked me out. So the flashing light was when she hit me, I blinked out, and when I woke up, the yellow towel was over my face. And, you know, she was so apologetic. Well, she wasn't really all apologetic. She was like, okay, you know, your butt should have been here. But the fact
see
that...
See what you made me do?
Yeah, exactly. See what you made me do to you. But the fact that she knew, it's that mother said, she knew that I was not home. She was, you know, she was really you know, posted up on me, Miss Delia. She was, man, she was like camouflage. I didn't see her, but apparently, you know, she saw me the whole way walking in the house. And when I got to the point where I thought I was safe, she ambushed me, Miss Delia. She ambushed me. But that's the story I love to tell about my mom. And, you know, it makes her look like an abusive parent, which she was, but I won't bring that up. But anyway, but it was, moms did that to you when, you know, you got your behind kicked when you were little. It was no timeout, none of that nonsense. So, anyway, that, I wanted to tell that story. I still love you, Ma. I still love you. All right, coming up next, before we go, a quick look at some stories that made headlines, Chatterbox and our final thoughts in NPR News. It's Mother's Day. Celebrate it with your moms. We'll be back. We're almost done. Don't go nowhere, folks. You're listening to The Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show on the TJ. What's going on, guys? I'm Jay, and it's time for your thought of the day for this Sunday. A man who dares to waste 1 hour of time has not discovered the value of life. Charles Darwin. The Thought of the Day is sponsored by the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. You can go to Facebook and get a Thought of the Day every day for the week. Just stop by the TJRS Radio Network homepage and be inspired on a daily basis. So until next time, I'm Jay Ryle telling you to make this day your day. Belongs to you. We'll see you next time, right here on the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network. Network.
Omówiono najważniejsze sprawy związane z dalszym rozwojem województwa i kraju.
The week that was in the news.
Okay, as we told you, this is the moment where Michael Sam got the news that he is going to be a member of the St. Louis Rams. There you see him on the phone, and there you see the raw emotion. We've seen this so many times, over and over again, for so many players.
Folks, it's time for, before we go, a quick look at some stories that made headlines this past week, and most of it is sports-related, and Michael Sam's first openly gay NFL player drafted by the St. Louis Rams. Ms. Elias, your thoughts on this?
Congratulations to the young man. I hope he does well in NFL, and I hope all the prejudices that he's going to face won't affect him.
Bumblebee, I'm not sure if you saw it, but, you know, they showed him at home. He had received the call. He was crying like a baby. I mean, he broke down. And then, to top it all off, he turned and kissed his gay white boyfriend. Your thoughts?
Well, good for him. Good for him. We all had our moment in time. Remember when the first black boy went? Everybody gets their turn. I appreciate it. Nice.
Dr. Princess, I'll do your thoughts. Thank you, Dr. Princess Audie, as always. All right, listen, Johnny Football, Mr. Elias, he's in Cleveland. Let me ask you a question just real quick. Who do you think did well in the draft, winners and losers?
Hell. You know something, man? I don't know. It's all speculation. You know, it's all speculation. I don't know. We'll see, because everybody that's been drafted that's supposed to be a great quarterback or a great running back don't always turn out to be great running back. I just reserve my thought on that one.
Well, you know, I can't believe that people had Johnny Football rated higher than Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go back and look at the film, it's not even a comparison. But, hey, you got to give the guy credit. He's a marketing machine, and, you know, he's already on top of it. So, hey, kudos to you, Mr. Johnny Football.
Yeah, all his YouTube videos and all that other stuff, you're right, but you never know.
Yeah, you're right, you'll never know. And on that note, time for Chatterbox. Final thoughts from social media and our world-famous chat room. Mr. Elias, man, who do you have, my brother?
I got St. Clinton. He said if a majority of those who were to apply to HBCUs like Howard were white for entering the group of 2014 and accepted, when we, that's black community, get upset.
Huh, interesting. I have one here from Jay Works. He says, white women benefited the most from affirmative action, and that's what we were talking about. Should affirmative action stay or go? Who else do you have, Ms. Elias?
I got Easy Rider when he said, I miss my mom's cooking. She can make hamburger taste like a filet mignon, and her husband and her mashed potatoes. And gravy. Dang, I miss you, Mom.
Yeah, to put the sound effect of in there, okay. And we got time for one last one. I have one from Kiki 1964. She says, babies don't come with an owner's manual. To all the young mothers out there, do your very best, because if all else fails, your endless love for your child will lead the way. Well said. That's Chatterbox. All right, folks, it's time for a news update, and we'll be back with our final thoughts. Don't go nowhere.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jael Snyder. In eastern Ukraine today, pro-Russian separatists are pressing ahead with referendums on self-rule. The voting is moving ahead amid reports of sporadic clashes, but as NPR's Soraya Sarhadi Nelson reports, the situation remains largely calm.
The only people that I've seen that look like there's some kind of security capacity are from the Donetsk People's Republic, who are at some of the stations. I saw some people armed with knives, wearing camouflage, but nothing significant. I mean, it just sort of seems to be a pleasant Sunday, you know, nice weather, and people are just coming in groups, usually families, friends, coming together to cast ballots at the schools where of the referendum is being held.
NPR's Soraya Sarhadi Nelson reporting there. Ukraine's interim president says it will be a step into the abyss if voters approve the independence referendums. He says such a move would destroy Ukraine's economy. Washington state officials are putting new restrictions on logging near landslide zones in place. The change in policy comes 6 weeks after a landslide near the town of Oso killed at least 141 people. From member station KUOW, John Ryan reports.
The Washington Department of Natural Resources will require detailed geological studies before approving logging on slopes where a landslide might harm public safety. The agency is still studying whether a 10-year-old clearcut at the top of the Oso landslide played a role in that hillside collapsing. Water fuels landslides in wet western Washington. By removing large trees that soak up moisture, clearcuts can let more water percolate deep underground, where it can lubricate naturally unstable soils. Environmentalists said the new policy means nothing without government standards for defining landslide hazard zones. For NPR News, I'm John Ryan in Seattle.
The government says the number of people who quit their jobs in February and March is at the highest rate since July 2008. NPR's Jess Chang has more on why people leaving jobs, though, may actually be a good thing.
When the economy is doing well, job turnover is high. Economist Scott Brown at Raymond James explains.
Normally in a strong job market, you'll get a lot of people just getting fed up. They quit their job and to go find a job somewhere else.
Brown says a high quit rate means people are confident about the economy. They think a new job, often with better pay, won't be hard to get. But Brown says, while recent quit rates have been good,
remember they fell to very, very low levels during the recession.
Brown says we are far from normal. He notes the real issue now is the amount of new hiring. That number is below what's typical for a healthy job market. Jess Jang, NPR News, Washington.
Stormy weather expected to develop in the Midwest following strong storms this weekend that spawned a tornado. State Highway Patrol Sergeant Colin Stosberg in Missouri says it's believed everyone was able to get to a shelter.
Thankfully, no injuries, but yes, the tornado did touch down about 6 o'clock in rural Ray County, Missouri.
The National Weather Service confirms the tornado hit the town of Oreck, damaging homes and power lines. This is NPR News.
This brings to an end the Mother's Day edition of the Serious Side of the J. Rouse Show. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. And once again, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. But it's time for our final thoughts. And Momo B, you're up first. Final
yes.
thoughts.
Oh, well, I just want to say happy Mother's Day to everybody. Enjoy this day with your mothers, your grandmothers, your aunties, everybody who lent a hand in raising you to be the best woman you are today. Yes, appreciate them. Show them much love and respect. Let them know you love them and not just their cooking, because I know she's cooking today. Let them know you love her as a woman, because this Mother's Day could be the last Mother's Day, and next Mother's Day you will spend reminiscing about this Mother's Day. So why not make it the best memory you can?
Thank you so much. Dr. Princess Aldea, final thoughts.
Well, I want to say, again, happy Mother's Day to everyone out here. And second, I want to, again, give my condolences and visions of victory to those who have suffered and who are suffering and have suffered in Nigeria. And I also just want to say this. It's important. I cannot stress it enough, ladies. Focus on you. When you are together, you become even more powerful than you ever could imagine for your children. That's what matters. So, mom, focus on happiness. Yes, yes, yes. And I also want to invite everybody to visit me on Twitter, the new Twitter page, Princess Adelia _. Transforming Detroit, I want to make an announcement. July 12th, we'll be launching our new network, Channel 20, which is currently in the process of being bought by ABC. So we're very, very, very happy and excited about that, the new show that will be coming on TransformingDetroitTV.com. You can check out some of the archive shows. And I love every last one of you. And again, happy Mother's Day, my sister. And
Everyone have a fantastic and fabulous day.
Thank you so much.
You.
And once
Thank
again,
you.
Happy Mother's Day to both you and Mama B. God bless you both. Mr. Elias, the minute is the first and last word. Happy, I mean, final thoughts, sir.
Well, I'd just like to say, once again, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. You know, guys, you're a very important and integral part of your child's life. You're the first person that your mother will actually see, and you're the first person that your child will feel love from. So, hey, look, you know, happy Mother's Day to Beatrice Windham, my grandmother, Lola Gibson, my other grandmother, and to my mother, Vera Moores, and a very special happy birthday to Dorothy Nevels, who, you know, has been a very integral part of my life, too. So happy Mother's Day to all you guys, and I love you guys.
You know, the thing is, when I sit back and think of my Mother's Day, you know, the first person that comes to my mind is not only my own mom, but, you know, my grandmother. And, you know, losing my grandmother at the age that I lost my grandmother. I lost my grandmother when I was 28 years old. And, you know, I always said to myself when I was younger that if I lost my grandmother, God, please let me lose her at an age where I would understand. And the age that I actually had said when I was a little boy was 28. But when 28 rolled around, I lost my grandmother, I was no good. And every day I think about her. She was a warm and beautiful person. The thing that I cherish the most is that we have her on cassette tapes telling some of her funny stories, stories that I would never, ever, ever forget. And I can't wait to pass that information along to my children as well. So on this Mother's Day, 5 days or 6 days after her birthday, I wanted to wish a very special Mother's Day to my loving grandmother, Miss Lily Mae Lee. I love you, love you, and every day I think of you. And not only to her, but to my mother and to Miss Vera Moores, because, you know, she's been a mother to me as well. So God bless you all, and I hope you guys enjoy your day. And I love you so much, Grandma. And on that note, Mr. Elias, if it's Sunday and we're talking serious stuff, what time is it, my friend?
It's time for the serious side of the J. Rao Show.
A very special thank you for Momo B for hanging out with us today, and also to all the mothers who took time to listen to us. So for Momo B, for Mr. Elias, and Dr. Princess all day, I'm J. Rao telling you to make it a great day. Enjoy the day, and remember, if it's Sunday and we're talking serious stuff, it is the serious side. God bless everybody.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.